Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk just a few moments about Shavuot. And I know that Wednesday night we're going to get a little bit more into this, but Shavuot is the second of three major festivals, Passover being the first, Sukkot the third. And this feast was meant to take place exactly 7 days and 7 weeks and 1 day, the Hebrew word Shavuot, which means weeks, or 50 days, which is the Greek word Pentecost. And it also is the first fruits. It was a harvest festival. And here the Israelites were to present an offering of new grain in the temple. And Israeli tradition is that this is also the time that Moses received the law on Mount Sinai, exactly 50 days after first fruits, or in other words, on Pentecost, based on Exodus 19:1. So hence, the receiving of the law is also celebrated on this day. And you can read about this also in Exodus chapter 23, verses 15 through 21, and Leviticus 23, 15 through 16, which we're going to read. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Even unto morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So Pentecost, or 50 days, was originally an Old Testament festival. And since the time of Josephus, they calculated as beginning on the 50th day after the beginning of Passover. And in the Christian calendar, it falls on the 7th Sunday after Easter, or as we say, Resurrection Sunday. And this has been celebrated throughout Christianity. And as you know, as we've taught before, that the Orthodox Church, and we're talking like the Greek Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, their calendar celebrates a little bit different sometimes on these dates because they calculated them slightly different. But Pentecost is also called the Feast of Weeks in Deuteronomy 16:10, the Feast of Harvest in Exodus 23:16, the Day of First Fruits, Numbers 28:16. And notice I said it's also called the Feast of First Fruits. For Christians, Pentecost marks the first fruits of the New Testament covenant, the first believers in the church of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. It also celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit so the law could be written not on tablets of stone, but on our hearts. So here's what the Apostle Paul has to say to the Corinthians in chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. So let's get back to the celebration of Pentecost as we know it, which, as I said, will actually be celebrated next Sunday, May the 23rd. Here's what Jesus had to say in John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus said, he had told his disciples, I'm going to have to leave. I am not physically going to be here with you always. But when I go away, I'm not going to leave you alone. I am going to send a comforter who shall be with you. He goes on in verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What he's saying here is when the Comforter comes and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that when you get into times and some tough situations sometimes, you don't have to worry about the words you've got to bring forth, because he will recall to your memory those things that he has spoken unto you. Yes. you ever get in a situation sometimes where you needed to say something and you didn't really quite know in yourself what to say, but all of a sudden the Holy Ghost began to move in your life and you begin to talk and you didn't even know what you were, had really not even thought about these things, but He gave them to you and you begin to speak the word that was needed in that situation because the Holy Spirit, that Comforter, had come upon you. Goes on in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Very familiar scripture. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You'll receive power, he says. Now let's stop just a minute and look at the situation here. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and just a very short time later, he ascends into the heavens. And there, as they see him ascend into the clouds, two men, it says, clothed in white garments, said unto them, "This same Jesus you've seen go away, he will come again in like fashion." He's coming back someday. Now, you know the neat thing? The really neat thing about that. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody really say this, because we talk about he's coming back in the clouds. But I'll tell you something, when that shofar sounds and the dead in Christ rise and those that alive and remain, those Christians go to meet him in the air at the time of the rapture, he's not coming back in the clouds then. We're going to meet him in the air, and when he comes back in the clouds, we're coming back with him because we're going to then come back to set up his earthly kingdom, which will reign for 1,000 years, the Bible tells us. What happens after the 1,000 years? It goes into eternity. It goes into eternity. Hallelujah. The word power in the New Testament comes from the Greek word dunamis. And what do you think word we get from that Greek word? Dynamite! That's where we get the word dynamite from, dunamis. And the word dunamis is translated power 77 times in the scripture. It's translated mighty work 11 times and miracle 7 times. He says, "I am going to give you power. I'm going to give you something the world has not seen before." You see, he said, and as I mentioned, the word power here also can be translated miracles. And I want to stop for just a moment and talk about miracles for a moment. And what is the purpose of miracles? The purpose of miracles is that people might know the power of God. And Dr. Frank Charles Thompson, who happened to be the one that put out the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and he said, previously in world history, there had not been the miracles and other divine acts of God in the lives of individuals except for those that were wrought through the prophets. Stop to think about it. Only through those of the prophets. Now, in Old Testament times, there had been miracles such as those listed in the book of Exodus, where you had the plagues. You had the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus 14:21. You had Jericho that was taken. Just imagine, you're going in to conquer those folks who are your enemy, and you haven't even got weapons. All you got some trumpets and some good sandals, because you're going to walk around the walls of that fortified city once a day for 7 days, and on the seventh day you're going to do it 7 times, and then you're going to blow those trumpets, you're going to blow those shofars, and guess what? God wrought a miracle because the walls came down. And we don't often stop to think about it. Not only did the walls come down, but there was a section of the wall that stood. Stop to think about that. All the rest of that wall that surrounded that mighty city of Jericho fell, but one section. And there was a house on top of that section. And there was a lady by the name of Rahab that lived there. And her family was in there with her. and her house didn't fall. Because you see, she had given, as some would say, and people of Jericho anyway would have said, she gave aid and comfort to the enemy because she took in the spies and she helped them in making their escape back out of the city. And you find Rahab also in the lineage of Jesus. God blessed her because she blessed his people. Think about that. When you bless God's people, God blesses you. So this mighty miracle that took place. And I know people have speculated for well over 2,000 years, how did the walls fall down? Because some people don't want to give in to miracle. They want to try to find a natural way to explain it. But you see, the natural way of explaining it doesn't account for the fact that that one section with that one particular house didn't fall. So there's natural ways you could possibly explain it, but it can't explain that. So it's a miracle no matter how you look at it. So there's those miracles. Then there was another miracle. When Joshua said to the sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. Because they were in a battle. And he needed the light. In fact, we read about that in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. Can you imagine light? That daylight for 24 hours. There's only one other place that happens, and that's only part of the year. And that's at the North Pole or the South Pole. And it's almost 24 hours of daylight there in the day. But a miracle took place. Now, you said this says written in the book of Jasher. So I looked up the book of Jasher last night. Found it. Jasher chapter 88. Verses 63 through 65. And when they were smiting, the day was declining toward evening. And Joshua said in the sight of all the people, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, until the nation shall have revenged itself upon its enemies. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Joshua, and the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens, and it stood still 36 moments. And the moon also stood still, and hastened not to go down a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. God will work miracles for his people Israel, and guess what? Today, as Christians, we're God's people, and he will work miracles for us. And, of course, there was the miracles of the prophets, and we'll only name a few today. For example, in 1 Kings, there was Elijah and the miracle that we talk about in chapter 17, where he says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Because you see, there was a drought in the land. People didn't have any food. And Elijah went into the widow woman and said, make me something to eat. And she said, I've only got enough stuff left to make one more meal for me and my son. And then we're going to die. We're going to starve to death. And he said, well, make me something anyway. And that sounds kind of harsh. That sounds kind of, you know, rough. But when she obeyed the voice of God's prophet, the oil never failed. The meal barrel never went empty until the day that God sent rain upon the earth and the drought ended and food again became available. A miracle happened. Then, of course, there was the child restored to life and chapter 17, verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Or there was the time in 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 9 through 11, that Isaiah, and it says here, and Isaiah said, the sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that thou hast spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Let's stop just a moment. They didn't have watches back then. They didn't have Timex or Bulova or some of these other brands that we think of today as watches. But they used sundials and things of that nature. They went by the shadow that the sun cast to tell the time. And he says, so shall it go forward 10 degrees or shall it go back 10 degrees? I got news for you. It's harder to go back 10 degrees than it is to go forward 10 degrees. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Let it go back. God showed him that he was going to work a miracle. And that was a miracle in itself as well, that the sun went back 10 degrees. As God worked miracles. But guess what? Well, let me finish reading that. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Of course, in the New Testament, we talk about the miracles of Jesus and some of the miracles of the disciples, and we're not really even going to get into those because there were numerous ones that took place. But we want to talk now about what happened when Jesus had said, I am going to send you another comforter, and he'll give you power. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and it's a familiar, again, scripture. Hear it read quite often, especially in Pentecostal churches. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And there suddenly came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then, let's think about this. What I think is the first miracle here, and we don't often think about it as a miracle. If you continue on in verse 5, because you see a lot of times when we get all wrapped up in preaching on Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, we always stop at verse 4. But let's go on and read verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under the heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because they heard every man, heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. You see, there were a lot of Jews who didn't live in Israel at that time. And they come to Jerusalem to celebrate Shavuot. They were there from every nation. They spoke a multitude of languages. And as we've talked about earlier, Greek was the common language of that day. We'd say it was kind of like the English language of that day, the language of commerce and trade. But they didn't hear these guys speaking in Greek. When they came down from the upper room, they said, we hear them speaking in our own language wherein we were born. That's a miracle. Right there. I don't know how many of you have ever watched a program called Star Trek. And I see some hands went up. And they had in it a thing that was called a universal translator. And so, of course, watching the program, you always heard everything in English. But it translated what they said in English to the other language and vice versa. Well, guess what? That's what happened that day. The Holy Ghost became a universal translator there. He said, they can speak it in this language, but you're going to hear it in your own language. Years ago, I knew of a singing group, and the Claiborne brothers. And they were kind of popular in Southern California. And their dad was a preacher. And they were talking about somebody, though, and I'm not sure if it was their dad or not now at this point, because it's been a long time ago, but went to Japan. Didn't know how to speak Japanese, but went to Japan anyway. And God intervened through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the people were able to understand them. We've had reports of people sitting in a church service and there'd be a message in tongues. And somebody after the service say, I understood every word of that because you spoke a particular language. Things like that happen because there is miracles that take place through the power of the Holy Ghost that God gives us as that other comforter when Jesus ascended back into the heavens. Another thing about this, though, and I know you're going to stop and say, okay, people in the upper room, we know at least 12 of them were apostles because they'd elected somebody to take the place of Judas. There are other people that followed Jesus during this time. It's quite possible Jesus' mother was there. Many other people had been well acquainted with Jesus. And you would say, well, these were kind of really special people that were up there in that upper room. But you know what? It says there were 120 that were in the upper room. And they were really just ordinary folks, like we are today. A lot of them, probably nobody outside their immediate friends and family knew who they were. Now, I'm sure some of the apostles, yes, folks knew who they were, but that's only 12 out of 120. A lot of those folks up there, nobody knew who they were. But the same thing took place in their life that took place in the life of Peter, for example. And, of course, we read the miracles the apostles wrought were Acts chapter 3, Peter and John on the way to the temple. Lame man is there. He asks them for alms. They speak to him and say, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it says here, in verse 7, and they took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he began to walk. He began to praise God for the miracle that had took place in your life, in his life. Acts 5:12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord on Solomon's porch. And there's another thing it talks about there too. They were all in one accord. And that's part of the problem with the church today is it can't seem to get in one accord. Got too much fussing and fighting going on. Well, you don't believe exactly the same way I believe, so I don't think you're going to heaven because you don't believe exactly the same way. You're not going to heaven because you weren't baptized in my baptistry. You weren't going to heaven, but whatever. The only way you're going to heaven is if Jesus Christ is in your heart and you've accepted him as your personal Savior. Then you're going to heaven. So they were in one accord back in those days. But again, you say, yeah, these were the apostles. But as the old saying goes, when they got up there in the morning, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do. They were common folks. They were ordinary folks that were touched by the power of God. And ordinary folks today can be touched by the power of God. We can have that miracle in our life that God said we would have if we have the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. Well, what about the gifts? Because it talks then about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. There are gifts out there that are available through the Holy Spirit. Some folks say that they've got all nine gifts, and some folks may only have one gift. But we work all together, bringing forth these gifts. I've said for years and years and years, this is not a superstar ministry. However, the church, and especially Pentecostal churches, have tried at times to make it a superstar ministry, and they've got somebody they promote, and they raise him up real big until someday he falls. And we've all seen that happen. There's only one superstar in this ministry, and that's Jesus. It's a body ministry. We all work together as the body of Christ, and that's what makes the ministry great. 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Each and every one of us are part of the body. We're part of that ministry. And sometimes, as we said here, one may have one gift, another may have another gift, but we all work together, and if we work together in one accord, there is a mighty ministry that flows forward. It's not necessarily the preacher that's standing up bringing the word, but it is the body of Christ, that is working through us, through the power of the Holy Ghost, that brings the ministry. Closing, Shavuot marked the giving of God's law. But Pentecost marked the beginning of God giving authority to the believers. He gave you authority. Stop to think about it. You have, through the power of the Holy Ghost, as much power available to you as the famous prophets of the Old Testament. And I use the word famous because it's the one we all think about. Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah and some of those guys. We've got as much power available to us as they had. And you say, "But I'm a common, ordinary person." Doesn't matter. God said, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that power is available to you. And it's available to the church today. Unfortunately, a lot don't want to have that power. They don't want to accept the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as it was on the day of Pentecost. And they want to say, "Yeah, that happened back in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago, but it's not for today." The Bible does not anywhere say that none of that was not for today. All of it is still for today. It's still available to you and I, if we'll only accept it. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you loved us so much that you not only sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, but also that you would give us this power, this authority in our life, that we can have that oneness with you. And Father, we can work together as the body of Christ, Father, and we can see great and mighty things take place. And Father, I pray today, if there's anyone listening to this message that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit would speak through their hearts today and draw them unto you, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.